Every good talk should be able to be summed up in one word, which means this is going to be a good talk because it can be summed up in one word: forgive. There's the word. You can go to sleep now if you want, whatever, because you've got it. There it is. Forgive. I'm absolutely convinced that not only does the Bible have more to say about forgiveness than any other book or philosophy or idea in the whole universe and of all time, but what the Bible says about forgiveness is more profoundly penetrating the soul than anything else could possibly be. Forgiveness. The Bible talks about forgiveness in two ways. It talks about the forgiveness that God does, and it talks about the forgiveness that we do. So I want to talk about those two things, the forgiveness that God does and the forgiveness that we do. But first, let me pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would help us in this time together this morning to be able to focus carefully on your word, to weigh it up, to look at the scriptures, to see if that's what the scriptures are saying. Heavenly Father, we pray that if this is true, if these things are what the scripture is saying, may your Holy Spirit do your powerful work in us and change us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, like I said, the Bible talks about the forgiveness God does and the forgiveness we do, but obviously the forgiveness God does is right at the very top when thinking about what the Bible has to say about forgiveness, the forgiveness that God does. So the Bible says things like God is compassionate and abounding in steadfast love and is amazingly faithful. And he offers freely forgiveness to anyone who will receive it. Freely. Absolutely freely. The Bible never, ever, ever, that I can find, talks about God forgiving reluctantly. Okay. I suppose. He's always generous and lavish in his forgiveness every single time. That's why when we were going through Nehemiah recently and we were looking at chapter 9 there, one of the things in Nehemiah chapter 9 is happening is this big prayer of confession. And God, in Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 17, is addressed as the God of pardons. The God of pardons. There is how God is described and defined as one who pardons and forgives. And we get to see what Nehemiah's day could only see by faith. We see God paying the debt when we look at the real historical event of Jesus dying on the cross. God does not just go, oh, it's all right, don't worry about it, it's nothing. He says, no, it's something and it's really, really serious, your sin, and I can't just overlook it forever. He overlooked it in the Old Testament because he knew that there would be a day when his son would on the cross pay the penalty 100%, every single bit of that sin paid for. So he doesn't sweep it under the cross, he righteously deals with it. He pays that penalty. So there's a whole lot of ways that the Bible talks about forgiveness. I'll just grab even just a few from the Old Testament. Psalm 103 says that God has thrown your sin as far as east is from west. That's a long way. Psalm 103. In Isaiah chapter 38, it talks about God taking your sin, popping it behind his back so he can't see it. You've put my sin behind your back. Psalm 51 talks about sin being blotted out, completely blotted out. Jeremiah 31, God says, I will not remember your sin. Do you hear what he's saying? He's not saying, oh, I've forgotten it, as if it oh, what sin? I can't, I've forgotten it. No, he says, I choose not to remember. See the difference there? He's choosing not to remember yours and my sin. In Micah chapter 7, verse 19, it talks about sin being thrown into the deepest part of the ocean and sinking to the bottom of the seabed, never to be found again. I had a friend who was building sandcastles. It was a little while ago. And he was putting the sand in his little red bucket. And he would put it there, and then he would put the bucket down, and he would get some more sand, put the bucket in over and build another little sandcastle. And he got the bucket, and he put it down, and then he did a little bit on his sandcastle, but the water came in, took his bucket. And when he went back to look for it, the bucket was gone. And then he could see it going further and further out into the water, and then it disappeared, gone. That's a bit like your sin, that red bucket. It's gone. It's been taken. It's disappeared. It's not coming back. Forgiveness. Do you have a story of forgiveness? Have you been forgiven? Is there any more important point than you could at all hear anywhere at any time in any place today than ask you the question, have you understood that forgiveness is available? Have you got it? Have you got it? Have you received it? It's free. No strings attached. Absolutely free. You just take it. He says, I want you to have it. I've paid it. Have you received it? Can you say, I have that story. That's my story. Forgiven. Is that you? Because you're not going to be able to understand anything that happens after this when we talk about the forgiveness that we do, unless you've got the forgiveness that he does. Well, the forgiveness we do. Some have said the forgiveness we do is to forgive God. Now, I mean, you think, what is that talking about? Forgive God? As if God has sinned and he needs forgiving or something like this. Now, usually when people say something like that to me that I don't quite get or I think is really strange, I usually just say, what do you mean by that? So you'll know that if I say, what do you mean by that? You've just said something strange that I couldn't work out anyway. And it seems that a lot of people have been saying when they say they forgive God, it's usually something like this. I was told that if I came to Jesus, he would never let me down, and my life has fallen apart. Why didn't Jesus make my life good the way I think it should be? Now, you can see that they're sort of saying, well, you know, I know that it's good to hang in there with God and he hasn't paid up on what he's promised, but I forgive him and I'll keep going with him. Now, see, the problem there is not that God let them down. The problem there is they had wrong teaching. There's a whole lot of people out there who are angry at God for not keeping promises he never made. Do you get that? Angry at God for not keeping promises that he never made. What that person or people who say they need to forgive God, what they need is better teaching. They need to know of the forgiveness that God gives. But other people talk about forgiveness that we do in the sense of, I need to forgive myself. Now, I don't know, maybe this is a bit closer. Maybe you've heard this one. I know God's forgiveness, but I'm just finding it really hard to forgive myself. And I say, what do you mean? Because it's very strange for the offender to speak as the victim, isn't it? That's not usually the case. I mean, certainly our sin does affect us, but we can't refer to ourselves as the offender. The victim. We can't refer to ourselves as the victim being the offender. I think maybe people who say, I can't forgive myself, or I'm finding it hard to forgive myself, actually haven't yet grasped the forgiveness that God offers. It's sort of playing second fiddle to their own forgiveness of themselves. Sometimes people can consider their own opinion greater than God's opinion. So are you someone who says, well, I haven't yet forgiven myself. I'm still feeling really sad and regretful about my past sin, and I just can't forgive myself. No, you're forgiven, cleaned, washed, made new. Sin is gone. Debt is paid. There is therefore now how much condemnation for those in Christ Jesus? Just a little bit. No, none. There is no condemnation. Can you spell no? N-O. No. Right. No condemnation. Serious? Yes. Serious. The dominant way, however, that the Bible talks about the forgiveness we do, or I say the only way the Bible talks about the forgiveness we do, is the forgiving of others. The forgiving of others. In fact, it is absolutely fundamental to the Christian life. Is there anything more God-like than forgiving somebody when they sin against you? Is there anything more God-like than that? Well, maybe there is, I can't think of it, but that's a pretty powerful one, isn't it? To forgive somebody when they sin against you. Is there anything that by our actions preaches the gospel louder than when we forgive somebody when they sin against us? Is there anything that could be preach the gospel louder in our actions than that? To forgive is the key, or is a key, I should say, to is a sign of real spiritual life. Because the person who has moved from being unforgiven to forgiven will also move from being unforgiving to forgiving. God's forgiveness is astounding, and there are some astounding stories of people forgiving because they know God's forgiveness. Do you have a story of that? Do you have a story of when you forgave somebody, when someone sinned against you, but you chose to forgive? Do you have a story of that? Anita and Ronnie Smith moved to Libya quite a few years ago. Anita says this: we saw the suffering of the Libyan people, but we also saw their hope, and we wanted to partner with them to build a better future. They went in the name of Jesus as missionaries to Libya to help rebuild. They gave everything. And one morning, December the 5th, 2013, Ronnie got up for his morning jog and he was shot and killed by one of those people that they were helping. In Anita's letter, she addresses her husband's attacker and she says this: I love you and I forgive you. How could I not? For Jesus taught us to love our enemies, not kill them or seek revenge. Or what about this family? Do you know the Staines family? A lot of you will know the Staines family, Graham and Gladys Staines. Graham and Gladys went to India to minister to parts of India where leprosy is prolific. And they went there to connect physically with lepers and be able to speak to those people about Jesus. They were there for some time, and at one point, Graham and his sons, Timothy and Philip, who were 6 and 10, drove out to one of the villages to be able to minister the gospel of the Lord Jesus to the lepers there. But a large group of Hindus had decided, we don't like what they're doing. We don't like the way they are treating these lepers, and we don't like the message they have to say. So Graham and his boys were out at this village. They just stayed in their car. They slept in their car for the night. Well, this gang of 50 or so Hindu people surrounded the car. They set it alight. And as the boys were trying to escape, as Graham was trying to escape, they, with sticks, knocked them back into the car and they burned them alive. Now, if you heard your husband and boys were killed by the people that you went to tell the gospel to, what would you do? Would you just come home? Well, no, Gladys doesn't do that. Gladys and her daughter. Gladys says, I forgive them. And she stays in India and she ministers to them. Is that not an incredible, astounding story of forgiveness? What about this lady, Elizabeth Elliot? Certainly you must know her. If you don't know her, then you must read the book Through Gates of Splendor. Elizabeth Elliot is the wife of Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot and four of his mates decided that they would reach the Alka Indians with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they had an aeroplane and they flew around, and over a long period, they connected with the Alka Indians until they are able to sort of stay there with them. And it's a good story. It's a long story. It's a good story. One day, however, Elizabeth, they had gone out, she didn't hear back from them. She tried to call them. No, there was no answer. She tried the next day. They got an aeroplane. They went to search for them to see what the story. Maybe the plane had crashed or something, but they saw the plane landed there, nice, where it normally had landed, but then they saw five bodies lying out there in the sun, speared by the Alka Indians. Now, if you were Elizabeth Elliot, what would you do? Well, most amazingly, she forgives. And one of the incredible stories that comes out of that is one of the friends of Jim Elliot, Nate Saint, his son also forgives and says to Elizabeth, I will come with you. They listen to the language of the Alka Indians. They translate the Bible. They give them the Bible in their own language. People become Christians. And not only that, Nate Saint's son then gets adopted. And the man who adopts him is the man who killed his son, his dad, because he became a Christian. And suddenly, with great grief but and great love for this boy, they become father and son. I mean, isn't that just turning the world upside down? Aren't you meant to be angry forever and get your revenge? Well, no, this story is astounding, isn't it? But every story that you have, when you forgive somebody from the heart, when somebody sins against you, that's an astounding story, isn't it? The Bible keeps saying how critical our forgiving others is. Luke chapter 6 says this, "Forgive and you will be forgiven." In the Lord's Prayer, remember? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. God, please treat me in exactly the same way I treat others. Is that the prayer you want to pray? It's the prayer Jesus says to pray. unforgiveness can choke our prayer life, Jesus says. In Mark 11, he says, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Hindered prayer in unforgiveness. You see, we can't talk to God, our Father, if we still have a problem with one of his children. Or should I say, with one of his image bearers. So here I have an open hand of fellowship with a brother or sister. But the minute that person sins against me or does something I don't like and I hold it against them, there's a barrier. Every time I see them, there's this barrier. But that barrier remains when I start to pray as well. Because God is saying, you can't talk to me and yet be out of relationship with one of my image bearers. Doesn't work like that. Love God, love your neighbour as yourself. That's why Paul will say things like this, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has any grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Or in Ephesians, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul is saying that to be unforgiving is Satan at work. Satan is at work in our unforgiving. Jesus says, so watch yourselves. If a brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them, and if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. And which is, you know, one of the things that people take from this, they go, ah, so I can stay angry. I can be mad. Because as long as they don't ask for forgiveness, I get to stay cranky at them. No, that's a way of twisting the Bible to your own ends, isn't it? Here is this not reluctant forgiveness, but this always being open, always being willing, always being ready to forgive. A desire for the person to repent, a desire for the person to turn, but watch yourselves closely, lest you think the problem is out there when it's actually here. Deceived. That passage that Clive read for us is really Jesus telling a joke. Jesus is a funny guy, but we miss it. Jesus is really funny. He tells this funny joke. He says, there was this guy who owed like $1 billion, couldn't repay it. And the king says, no worries, mate. I'll pay it for you. And everyone's going, oh. As if that would happen, but wow, it did. Awesome. And Jesus says, hey, the joke gets funnier. The guy who was forgiven the $1 billion, he was owed $2 by a friend. He starts choking him. Pay back what I owe you. But pay back what you owe me. I mean, that's funny, isn't it? That's outrageous. Would that ever happen? Would there be anybody who would ever act like that? Have been forgiven by God and yet still hold a grudge with their people, with their brothers and sisters. That's laughable. But then Jesus really, he sort of sticks the knife in a way, and that's probably the wrong way of putting it. He says there in that very last verse, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from the heart. Is he saying, what I said was a joke, but it's really, really serious. That's really serious. He's not saying that your forgiveness of another person is the prerequisite for being forgiven. He's pushing the point that if you have been forgiven, this is what you will do. So do it. In the end, forgiveness is about restoring and improving relationships. And when God forgives, there is a great relationship restored. And when we forgive, relationships are restored. And isn't it fascinating that forgiveness helps the injured party sometimes more than the offender. It's as if the injured party holds the medicine for their own healing, and yet when they refuse to forgive, they're refusing to drink it. One police officer I heard was shot in the spine and was made quadriplegic. And when they were talking to him, he said, "I forgive that guy who's made me a quadriplegic. Because if I was to hold bitterness in my heart, that would be worse than a bullet in the spine." Friends, do you know God's forgiveness? Is there someone now in your life that you need to forgive? Is there? Now's the time. This is business. This is the business time of it, you know. This is when you say, "God, you're speaking to me right now, and I know exactly who they're talking about." Is it a spouse, a child, a parent? A parent-in-law, a friend, a neighbour, someone at church? I have done about 150 funerals, and I can't think of any of those funerals where someone has got up and said, "I'm so glad I was angry at you all my life. It made life so good." And just nobody said that, that I've heard yet. I'll update you if that does happen. Friends, we can be moved by astounding stories of forgiveness, but we must be moved most of all by remembering the cross, our great story of forgiveness. And where are we moved to? We are moved to being forgiving. Forgiven, forgiving. Let me pray. Loving Father, we thank you for your word. And we ask, Lord God, that you would help us to be a people who preach the gospel by forgiving those who sin against us. Help us to be people who live the gospel by forgiving those who sin against us. Lord God, we pray that you would do your great, great work in us. May we be, as a forgiven community, may we also be a forgiving community. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.